The Hammer of God could not possibly have been written without the masses of information contained in the Space Guard survey. But the direct inspiration for the novel came from a quite different and very unexpected source. In May 1992, I was flattered to receive a letter from Steve Kep, senior editor of Time magazine, asking me to write a 4,000-word story that would give readers a snapshot of life on Earth in the next millennium. He added engagingly, "I believe it would be the first time that our magazine has ever published fiction, intentionally at least." As it turned out, this information was not quite accurate. Time's editors later informed me, rather apologetically, that mine was not the first fiction they had ever commissioned. Back in 1969, they had published a story by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I am honored to follow in such distinguished footsteps. Time's suggestion was, needless to say, an offer I couldn't refuse. It presented an interesting challenge, and I do not recall a delay of more than 5 milliseconds before I realized that the perfect subject was already at hand. More than that, it was my duty to show what could be done about the asteroid menace. By creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, I might even save the world, though I'd never know. So I wrote The Hammer of God and rushed it off to Time, where Steve Kep justified his existence by making some very shrewd editorial suggestions, 90% of which I accepted with fairly good grace. It appeared in the special issue of the magazine Beyond the Year 2000, published in late September and dated Fall 1992, volume 140, number 27. Before then, however, I had gone to England for the slightly premature celebrations of my 75th birthday. After 3 decades of living less than 1,000 kilometers from the equator, nothing will get me to the UK in December. Among the participants in the program that my brother Fred had arranged in my hometown, Minehead, was one of the members of the Space Guard Survey, Dr. Duncan Steele. He had come all the way around the world from the Anglo-Australian Observatory in New South Wales to present a paper showing, with some awesome color slides, what might happen in the event of a major impact. It was probably around this time that I accepted the fact that Hammer was really a compressed novel, and that I had no alternative but to decompress it. As I had 6 other books and several dozen TV programs in orbit, I was reluctant to bite this particular bullet, but eventually decided to cooperate with the inevitable. The first draft was almost complete when I received a letter from Dr. Steele with some startling news. "Until last Thursday, if anyone had asked me when an asteroid or comet was going to collide with the Earth, I could have put my hand on my heart and told them that none of the currently known objects is going to hit our planet in the foreseeable future, meaning a century or two. This is no longer the case." Attached to Dr. Steele's letter was Circular 5636, dated October 15, 1992, from the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams, which is part of the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory, Cambridge, Massachusetts. It reported the rediscovery on September 26th of Comet Swift-Tuttle, originally discovered by 2 American astronomers in 1862, and then lost, not through carelessness, but for a much more interesting reason. When it nears the Sun, Swift-Tuttle, like many comets, including Halley, undergoes solar-powered jet propulsion, the operation of which is completely unpredictable. Though the effect on its orbit is quite small, as Dr. Steele remarks, "if the sums and models are slightly incorrect, and one might not expect this jetting force to act consistently, then the comet may hit the Earth on August 14, 2126. There is no doubt about the date, since that is the date on which the comet's orbit intersects that of the Earth in that year. What is uncertain at this stage is whether the comet will be there at that time as well, or whether, hopefully, it will be slightly further on or back in its orbit." Understandably, the Astronomical Union circular suggests, "it therefore seems prudent to attempt to follow Swift-Tuttle for as long as possible after the present perihelion passage, in the hope that an adequate orbit determination can be made." Duncan Steele again. "What if the comet does hit the Earth in 2126? This will occur at a speed of 60 kilometers per second. The nucleus is about 5 kilometers in size, so the kilotonnage released, according to my calculations, would be equivalent to 200 million megatons, or 10 billion times the Hiroshima bomb. If 5 kilometers were its diameter rather than radius, divide those figures by 8. Still a big bang in anybody's language. Best wishes, Duncan. Now, I had set the arrival of my hypothetical Kali around 2110, at which date the real world may be starting to agonize over Swift Tuttle only 16 years ahead. So I was very happy to use this information to add an air of verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative, as the Mikado puts it so neatly.